The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then, after this, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk in the night stumble because the light is not in them." After this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to waken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world." When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, "The teacher is here and is calling for you." And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, "Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" So they took away the stone. And Jesus looked upward and said, "Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me." When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, who died that we might live. Amen. This is, for me, one of those favorite stories in the Gospels, the raising of Lazarus. And I just want to note a few pieces. There is so much to this story, we could spend hours studying it. But I'd just like to mention a few things that jumped out at me this week as I was studying it. First of all, something that I had forgotten until I was studying, is that Lazarus is actually a story, or a name, that means God is my help. So the mere name is framing the story. The messenger, as John writes it, doesn't invite Jesus to come to Bethany. There is ultimately no need. We are told about Jesus' great love for Lazarus. He would necessarily go. As St. Augustine said, it is not possible for a person at the same time to love a friend and desert him. And Jesus would not desert him. I believe this is a foreshadowing of the cross. One cannot love a friend and at the same time desert him. I think one little piece that tends to get lost in this story is Jesus' prayer before he actually tells Lazarus to come out. He does it in the framework of prayer. Offers to God prayer before he does this tremendous act. And finally, and maybe most importantly, what struck me is what's missing from this reading. You know, these readings are assigned week in, week out, over a 3-year cycle. We don't choose them here. They come from our printed lectionary that was put together by a council many years ago. And the verses they chose to leave off, which immediately follow this, I think are very informative as we move towards Palm Sunday next week, when we will read the Passion Gospel, the story of Jesus' last week in Jerusalem and his crucifixion. The last line that we read this morning is, "Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him." What a wonderful way to end the story. However, if we read the next line, it says, "But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what he had done. So the chief priests and the Pharisees called a meeting of the council." A few verses later, it says, "So from that day on, they planned to put him to death." As a result of the raising of Lazarus, the final decision is made that this man is going to die. As I say, remarkable in its absence, but an important piece of this overall story. This would shape the events that go on in Jerusalem after Jesus arrives. Now, one of the things, broadly speaking, that struck me about this is that Jesus did not accomplish this raising of Lazarus alone. Certainly, it could not be done outside of his presence. But he did not do it alone. If you pay attention, there are so many places that people help. First of all, they send a messenger to tell him about Lazarus. Somebody had to draw this to Jesus' attention. The story, like the blind man, the man born blind, we heard last week, Jesus came upon him. In this one, Jesus was elsewhere. Somebody had to go tell him. He received words of support many times. Martha says to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe." It's not as some of the disciples seem to bumble their way along. "Yes, Lord, I believe." This is an important part of the story. Mary, despite her words, you remember she says, "If you had been here, my brother would not have died." And she ends it there. Martha had said, "But I know that you can do what you ask of God." But Mary, despite those words, got down on her knees before Jesus. Another extraordinary act of support for the power and the status and the reality of who Jesus was. Jesus had to ask, "Where is he? Where is he?" And the response is a curious phrase for the gospel. Mary says, "Lord, come and see." That should be a familiar phrase, "come and see." This is the same phrase that Jesus used when he called two of John's disciples to join him in his ministry, including Andrew, who would go and call on Peter. "Come and see." Same words Philip used to recruit Nathanael. "Come and see." Jesus says, "Where have you laid him?" And Mary says, "Come and see." Jesus had people roll away the stone. A significant piece of help, necessary. People were being incorporated into this ministry. And finally, at the end, Jesus has raised Lazarus. He comes out of the tomb, and Jesus says, "Unbind him and let him go." Once again, the people that were gathered there played an important role in this whole operation. This is not always the way it goes. In fact, it rarely goes this way in the stories of Jesus' miracles. You think about the story we heard last week of the man born blind. Jesus came upon this man. Jesus healed this man. You remember he used his spit to make a little mud and put it on his eyes. Then he told the man to go wash, so the man had a little piece in this healing. But the disciples and the other people around Jesus, all they could do afterwards is argue. Is this really the one? In fact, they started with an argument with Jesus, saying, "Well, who sinned? His mother, father, or did he sin? Who sinned that he's blind?" They didn't say, "Jesus, we have a blind man here, let's heal him." I said, "Whose fault is this?" Well, Jesus does the healing. They're all arguing about whether this is the one or not, which in and of itself is striking because he'd been begging at the gate for presumably the duration of his life, and they weren't sure if he was the one. It's a little indicator of how closely they paid attention to the man who was born blind. They didn't know. They call his parents. They said, "Yeah, this is our kid. We don't know how he got made better." There's no help. It's just a mess. Even you think about some of those other great stories that we all know. Think about something like the feeding of the 5,000. How does that start? Well, Jesus has 5,000 people around him listening to him preach and teach. And the disciples come and say, "Look, send him away. We don't have enough food and it's time to eat." Send them away. This is not helpful. You know what Jesus responds? "You give them something to eat." He's inviting them in to this miracle. And what do they say? "We can't do that. All we have is a few loaves of bread and a few fish. We can't possibly give them something to eat." So Jesus has to do it himself. The only thing the disciples do to help out is after it's all over and everyone has been filled, they go, they take baskets and collect the pieces. That's it. There is no help. There are nothing but obstacles in this miracle. What about Jesus walking on water? Now, I will allow for the reality that Jesus didn't need help to walk on water, but how did the disciples respond? Well, they were terrified, first of all. They didn't do like Mary did and say, "This is the Lord, I'm going to bow down." Or Martha proclaiming, "I know that you are the Son of God." No, they're terrified. Peter, of course, says, "I want to do this." And Jesus says, "Come to me." He gets out of the boat and he sinks. They are just bumbling their way along. But this story is different. And what's powerful about that is that, as I noted, this story comes immediately before he heads to Jerusalem. This story is the one that leads to his crucifixion, as John tells the story. And it is at this point that Jesus involves how many people in this ministry? He's done all this teaching, and the disciples have failed over and over again to respond to the call that Jesus makes. Now, as he is completing his earthly ministry, and his teaching, and his preaching, and his healing, now maybe they're starting to get it. Jesus invites them in, and they participate. They even start earlier. Lord, you have to come to Bethany. This man you love is sick. This is an invitation that goes on today. How many times do you hear when somebody has come through a very difficult time, how many times do you hear them say, I could not have done it without my friends. I could not have done it without my family. I couldn't have done it without other people. Lazarus, it would seem, would never have come out of the tomb without other people. I believe with all I am that Jesus could have, but Jesus chose not to. To date, the disciples had not gotten it. They were hard-pressed to help. But Jesus called them into a new way of serving God's people. A collaborative ministry, if you will, Jesus being the center. And I think Jesus invites us to participate in that process of making God's people whole.